Podcast Network Asia.
Hey guys, I'm Edric.
I'm Joy.
Welcome to Family Unboxed. In this show, we talk about everything family. We talk about the light stuff, the fun stuff, and even the controversial stuff, because our goal is to help see families changed and the world changed one family at a time.
So in a positive way.
Yes, in a positive and good way.
On this, it's now labeled something differently, but labels don't really matter, you know, it's really the substance, right guys?
Well,
right,
the kind of
So, but Joy wants to explain something, and to those that are joining us, yeah, we are using a platform to test also, so go ahead, babe.
Okay, the reason why we decided to go back to our original name, which is Family Unboxed, is because we've had a podcast with Podcast Network Asia and on Spotify that's called Family Unboxed. So we just decided, let's just merge this whole thing and make it Family Unboxed, where we will talk about still truth and issues and parenting and family, and really include the youth so that they can hear it from the youth perspective. But we just kind of have to converge our lives as well. That's why we're just calling it, going back to our original name, which we've been using for the last year on Spotify, which is Family Unboxed. So that's this explanation.
Good explanation. So, because I think the essence is the same, right? We want to help families. That's really our passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And this particular segment is with our sons because...
For young people.
Yeah, focusing on them and where they're at. So let's go, guys. Let's start. Today, we promised, I think the last time we went live, we talked about gender and we wanted to talk about gender.
Right.
Identity. So let's do that. Let's unpack that today.
So you guys have had a burden for this topic because kind of the current of things is really that gender can be something that's fluid and anything really goes. It depends on what you want. And we don't want to come across as judgmental. We don't want to come across as self-righteous. But we would just want to point people back to what God has to say because He is our creator and maker.
Yeah, let's frame it first. What do you think the issues are when it comes to gender identity? You guys, your friends, you talk to.
And do you think that gender is really the issue or is it something deeper? Because I think it's something deeper.
Thanks for answering the question. I'll start because Eden's...
I can answer.
Oh, you want to answer? Go. Okay, go answer.
Yeah, I think the reason why we've noticed that the people we're around have gone through this issue or are going through this is because the root issue is sometimes a broken family. When the children don't have a good relationship with their parents, this is usually one of the things that shows that it's not there, that relationship is missing.
That's interesting.
That's what I've noticed.
You're saying that from the dialogues that you've had with friends or people you know, because you guys are connected to a huge community, a huge homeschooling community of about 2,000-something young people.
More than.
Anyway, so you're saying that from your...
Truth matters.
From your engagements with them, you notice that a lot of the people who are not really sure about what their identity should be or are not very rooted in their identity, it has to do with broken relationships?
Yes.
Okay. But how does it manifest? How does it manifest?
Well, since there's a broken relationship in their family, they choose to make this choice so that they can be connected to people elsewhere. They can fit in with other people elsewhere outside of their family because they don't have a proper relationship.
And that affects the gender identity,
yes.
Right? You're saying, so I don't mind flexing because this will make me fit in?
I think that's interesting.
Observing.
Because what I think he's saying is that essentially all of us are looking for love and acceptance.
Acceptance, I think that's the word for
love and acceptance. So if we don't find it in the context of family
or with God.
Or with God, then we're definitely going to look for groups of people or connections outside of the family where we will feel like, hey, I fit in here. I'm wanted here. I'm loved. I'm connected. I'm accepted. You're going to say something.
Legend.
You basically summed up what I was going to say, which is we're all looking for acceptance. And if we can't find that acceptance in God, then we will look to people like that. The gender identity will naturally follow whether we feel accepted or not as a man, as a woman.
Mm.
If we don't feel accepted as a man or a woman, then we look for acceptance by trying other things. And that's what a lot of the youth today might be thinking.
But
let me just jump in right here, because Ariel Hernandez is saying something, which is, I think, is very honest.
Yes.
He says that, you know, I think on the note of broken relationships, which Eden kind of unpacked, he's saying that there are obviously something deeper, and things like sexual abuse by the same sex. And then there's the fatherlessness, which I think is what we were talking about, right? The whole relationships at home and the dynamic there. Can you move that?
Sorry.
So sorry to hear that, Ariel, for you. And I do think definitely there are factors like that that help, that will shape gender identity and identity as a whole. You know, the experiences, brokenness like that, being sexually abused.
Right, because I think if you're sexually, let's say, for me, I was sexually assaulted and raped by men. So my instinct before was, I can't trust men, any men, because they are, you know, they are perverted, they're not trustworthy, they do things like this. And I think when you're young, especially when it happens when you're young, and you're trying to understand who you are and your place in life, and these things happen to you, you know, that experience shapes you so profoundly that unless you have a good foundation in terms of good relationships around you, unless your core is really rooted in the Lord, it's really going to make it difficult for you to understand, who am I supposed to trust? And who am I supposed to be, given that these things have happened to me? And so I can see how, I don't think it's always the case, but it can be the case where then you want to turn to, you know, how can I express myself in a way that won't make me vulnerable? Because I've counseled people who have been abused also. Wow. And one of the women that I counseled who had been abused said, because I was abused as a woman, I don't want my expression to be womanly. I want to express myself in a different way that doesn't make me vulnerable. Mm. So that could be one thing. But I think there's also now a growing curiosity, would you say, with being experimental in terms of gender expression and sexuality, because the media is shaping so many of the things that, what do you have to say about that?
So first of all, I wanted to second what you said about bad experiences in the past. And I don't think it has to be necessarily abuse also. It can just be a bad relationship that they had in the past with a guy, or a bad relationship that they had in the past with a girl that makes them feel rejected by the opposite sex, that makes them only comfortable around the same sex. And I've noticed that among my friends. And with the media today, as my mom was saying, it makes the different options of so-called genders more acceptable, more available. And so that probably combined with curiosity is making up for the large trend in people identifying as these different labels.
Mm. Right. And I think, you know, the beauty of this particular conversation, even when we were thinking about it a few weeks before the whole COVID in our home, right, is we can actually unpack all the different challenges to this gender identity.
There's 46 definitions for
Yeah.
for sexuality and gender today.
Yeah, and the reason I'm saying that is because we can unpack that, but the different challenges towards that gender design can actually be endless, right? They can just keep going and going and going. So instead of looking at all of those reasons why people will end up confused with their gender or trying to address the different permutations of a gender and all the things related to that, let's focus on the actual design, right? And I think what we've learned, even as we look at truth in general, right, is the whole principle of, if you want to be able to know what is a true peso bill or dollar bill, you don't focus on all the different counterfeit out there, because then they can get this. Instead, you focus on what is the real thing and know the real thing very well so that you can stick to that design, and that will help you navigate through. So in our case, maybe the straight question that we wanted to ask you guys about gender is, how did you know you were a man? How do you know you're a man?
Me knowing that, you know, I have a secure gender in Christ. I'm a man because it talks about in God's word how God created man and woman, and there's a difference between each of them, which my dad taught us. And that's how I know.
Okay, you, Legend, what's you?
For me, I know I'm a man because number one, I was born one and I know what I have on my body, which makes me sure that I'm a man. And it's part of the way that God designed me. And the way that my parents have affirmed it have made me, you know, accept it and embrace my identity as a man. So I know for a fact that it's true, but my security in it is just affirmed because of what my parents, I'm grateful that my parents have been able to do this. My dad, as a male model in the house, has been able to model what it's like to be a man, model what men like to do, and encourage that in us boys and bring it up. And as a result, I felt more secure in my manliness.
Right. Let's talk about femininity, you as a woman. How do you know you're a woman? How do you help reinforce that in the girls?
For me, when I was growing up, I think it was the same thing. I think first it was modeled by parents, by people around me. So that was a very strong confirmation because I identified with mom, right? And mom spent a lot of time with me and my dad affirmed femininity in me. So all those things help, but biologically it was very clear to me. I grew up in a home with four other siblings and I could see that there was just a clear difference between the way my brothers were and the way I was, even biologically, even my responses to situations. And I think that, you know, that in itself just confirmed for me, I knew what I was not for sure. I knew I was not a boy. And I think it was much simpler back then because now I think so many options are presented to young people and young people really believe they have the right to choose how they will express themselves, what they will identify as, what they will be attracted to. And so we didn't grow up with all the complexities of all those choices. I think it was just very clear. It's man and woman based on God's word. And you're born either man or you're born woman. Now, I know that there are cases but it's very rare, where you have both anatomical.
Intersex, that actually happens for some people.
That can happen, but it's not how God originally designed everything.
It's an exception, it's not the rule. Just because a few people are born this way, not to alienate them, they're also special and they're created in God's image, but that doesn't mean that everyone has the right to choose just because a few people have been born with that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think we're not trying to criticize people's desire or, you know, wanting to have that flexibility of choice, because I think the root issue is really seeing ourselves the way God sees us. And understanding that God loves us, that he doesn't make mistakes. And do you remember we were watching that one show with Catalina? And in the show, there was a character who wanted to go from being a boy to being a girl. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking as a family. What did you think about this character in the movie that wanted to change their gender and have surgery? And Catalina, in her very like pure mind, said, well, shouldn't we be content with how God made us and the gender that God gave us? And it came from her as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old. And that profoundly struck me because I think that in all of us, in mankind, there is always that desire to rebel against what God wants for us and what he designed for us. And unless we come to the point of realizing that God has a good design for us, has a good plan for us, that he has a purpose for how he designed us, we're always going to be searching for options.
Exactly.
We're always going to be trying to fit in somewhere, trying to identify in order to fill these longings in ourselves. Elijah, you want to share something?
Dad wants to point out a comment, so point it out.
Yeah, so I love how James Adobo said, you know, I think, and I want to echo this, one of the reasons people who are experiencing confusion of gender identity is the need of acceptance. They themselves do not fully accept the real them. That's great. And I think, you know, the reason I wanted to jump off of that is, even as you were speaking, I realized that, yes, people need to be able to see how they have been designed by God. But fundamentally, the issue of gender identity is a an issue of identity in general. Who will define who you are, right? Yes. Where will you find that? I mean, let's go beyond gender, right? Am I going to be an artist? Am I going to be an athlete? So all of this search for who we are will ultimately have to be answered, right? Who will define that for you? And I think that the danger and the challenge which we're presenting here is there can be an endless source of who will define that. And if at the end of the day, we will say, it's up to you to decide who you are. But if you don't even know who you are, it becomes a vicious cycle, right? So it becomes very subjective. It becomes very flexible and fluid, and it will lead to all sorts of distortions. Versus, as I think our proposition here really is that at the end of the day, if you want to unpack gender, you want to unpack who you are, we need to be able to accept the fact that it's ultimately defined by God, right? He is the one that made us. And until we come to that point where we have accepted that we are made special, we are made unique by someone who loves us and only wants what is good for us.
Hey, Joe and Rika here. Are you enjoying this episode? Hope you can also check out our podcast where we talk about a bunch of stuff that we're currently into, our topic of the day, and we can also answer questions from you. Anything goes.
Anything Goes with Joe and Rika is available wherever you listen to podcasts, powered by Podcast Network Asia. Check us out after listening to this one.
I think it is only at that point that we can finally say, all right, you know what? I know that you designed me, you made me, then show me who I am, right? It's that part of opening up and saying, you show me who I am. So even if I feel this way, or if other people or sources will say that this is who I am, then I don't get confused, because I'm very secure in knowing that you have designed me.
Even start to yawn. So would you like to add anything?
No, it's fine.
The Bible actually talks about the question of who defines you.
Okay.
In Romans 1.
Go.
And I think the question of identity isn't just about who defines you, but it boils down to who is your God going to be? Because your God will ultimately define who you are.
Your God, right?
Your God.
So that's good.
So people who don't choose to set God in their minds.
You can read the passage.
The position that he deserves. Let me read the passage. I'll just open this up and read it. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what is made, so that they are without excuse.
Wait, let's just pause there. Let's just pause there.
Yeah.
So what is this passage saying? Eden, what is it saying?
It's saying that, you know, he is everywhere. And, you know, he's placed in human hearts that there is a God. But some people choose to suppress the fact that he is God and replace God with their own gods, which can be their selves, which can be things, which is why truth can become distorted.
Yes.
They don't have the true God as a
So you're saying that God has revealed himself in, you know, everywhere, in every way possible. Like,
yes.
If you just look at creation itself, the complexities of it, the beauty of it, you know, there has to be a designer. How can it be accidental, right?
Yeah. God created the world in this way so that when we stand before him someday, we will be without excuse. When we stand before him for judgment, nobody in the world can say, I didn't see you at all. I didn't notice you. That's why I shouldn't be here. Because God has made himself evident to creation.
And the fact that we're created in this image means that we have that bent towards spiritual truth, right?
Right.
We are not just physical or material.
Yeah.
We are spiritual.
Yeah.
And so there is that inclination also. I mean, we just studied about Egypt, right? We were watching that video in Egypt and how even from long, long ago, people had this desire to live forever.
Yeah.
There is, as in Ecclesiastes,
God has placed eternity in man's heart.
God has placed
eternity in the hearts of man.
So there really is that bent, that desire for something which is really God, right? And unless we fill it with God, and you're going to read the rest of the passage.
And so basically what the rest of the passage says, I'll just read it because it's a really good passage. So it says, verse 21, Romans 1, verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. And this is all of us. This is not just a certain
group of people.
Certain group of people. This is talking about every single human being who's ever lived. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So what is it saying here? It's saying when you suppress the truth about God in your hearts, then you, your heart will naturally look for other things.
To worship. Yeah.
That's what you talk about the gods, right?
Yes. Yeah. Really. And so you exchange God for something else. You substitute it for the image of man. So you look at yourself as your own God. It could be possible.
Or others.
Or like in the past, what they did was they exchanged it for idols and figures of animals and things like that. And then it talks about here how God gave them over in the lust of their heart to their impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them.
That's very good. So I think that we see the progression.
Yes.
So first, what we think about God really defines what we think about ourselves.
Right.
And if we don't have the right view of God, then our hearts and our minds become darkened.
Distorted.
Distorted.
Yeah.
So then now it's like anything goes.
Right.
Because I've exchanged.
Yeah. Which is why I said earlier, it becomes very fluid and flexible, right? Yeah. I want to be this today. I want to be this today. Then,
and you know what? I think the great thing about this is not us saying this.
Yeah.
It's really the word of God. Yeah. So, and the reason why we want to share this is because we love people. We want people to know that God loves them and God has a plan for them.
Are you really sorry? So, thanks for sharing your heart, honey.
Just because I remember when we had this one lady who worked for us and she was struggling with her gender identity and she didn't want to tell us because she said, you know,
Christians.
Maybe you would reject me and you wouldn't love me. And I hugged her and I told her, you know, God loves you and we love you and we want you to really experience fullness of life in God and his design for you. And she started breaking down as she hugged me back because I think maybe all her life she felt like she had to hide her struggle.
Because she would be judged
because, you know, God didn't love her.
Right.
And I wanted to begin with that point. No, you must understand that God does love you.
Yeah.
And God has a plan for you and he has a design for you as a woman. And let's walk with you on this journey to discover God's plan for you and fullness of life as a woman. And, you know, of course it was a process and everything, but I think I'm tearing because I think a lot of times people, they reject the idea of God because it doesn't conform to their idea of what will make them happy.
Mm.
And that can include like gender expression, who am I attracted to and everything.
Yep.
And if that doesn't seem aligned with what God wants, then I reject God.
Yeah.
Because I want what will make me happy.
Yeah.
But God's saying, I want to make you happy.
Mm.
I want what's
best
for
you. And I know what's best for you.
And I know what's best for you because I designed you.
Exactly.
So
for me, I think, you know, I love what you're sharing, babe, and I love how honest you are. The more that I hear you all share and the more that I think about this idea of gender identity, it's gender identity and identity in general is not a question of who you are. It's a question of whose you are.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that fundamental identifying of, you know what, I'm not my own person. I didn't make me, right? I don't know what's best for me, but there's someone who does. And I think it's when we come to that point and we see and view God from that lens that, you know, it's not this judgy, restricting, you know, he actually knows what is best and he wants what is best and he will allow what is best for us if we embrace that, right? So, and I love how you said that. I think that's exactly what you were trying to communicate to her. It's not, you know, whether it's gender or any other sin, we're all sinners, as Elijah unpacked earlier, right? So for us to navigate through gender decisions, through that identity in general, we need to be able to say, okay, you know what? You know what's best for me, God. You made me. You made me fearfully and wonderfully, your word says, right? So you show me who I am and how I'm supposed to live my life. And I think that, to Ariel's point earlier, I want to go back because Ariel has some amazing insights here. He said it's not dependent on what you feel about yourself or which you are attracted to. Oh, wait, sorry, babe, I'm reading it.
Oh.
Sorry. It is something that is already given from God. Exactly. We've been designed in the matter of gender and it is unchangeable, right? It's true. I mean, all the things that God has made about us. And I love how your dad, he unpacked this for me. And as a Filipino, you know, part of my identity growing up was, you know, we were convinced to believe that, you know, to be American was cooler, you know. Speaking like that, and we weren't allowed to speak Filipino at home. And I'm sharing all of these things because I remember when your dad in my 30s gave a message and he talked about how, have you actually embraced the fact that you're born with the skin color you have? That's the identity you have. You're born with the hair color you have. You're born with the eye color you have. You're born in the nationality you have at a time where you were born. All of that
is not
in the family that you've been born in. And many of us are thinking, oh, I wish I was this, I wish I was that. But have we actually embraced the fact that that's how God designed you and He will use that for good? And that helped resolve a lot of the insecurity I was having, right? Because I was like, I'm not this, I'm not that, I don't have this, I don't have that. But I'm like, wait a minute, this is how He's made me already. These unchangeables, I need to embrace these things because that's His design for me. And if that's His design for me, then there's a good purpose for these things. So again, whose you are is the most important.
And I think, you know, we were very careful not to stereotype what it means to be a boy or what it means to be a girl.
Really?
Huh?
Yes, but you know, we need to be careful about
well, that. Well, I'm just saying that
when we say stereotype, it doesn't mean that.
Let's say if Tiana wanted to be an athlete and she's very athletic,
right,
that doesn't mean all of a sudden that she's masculine,
right?
You know, and if she can become an incredible athlete, why not? Right.
So in other words, there are some gender stereotypes that are obviously just stereotypes.
Yeah.
But there are
like
gender,
boys have to like blue and girls have to
right,
like pink.
But there are some gender traits that even if they are stereotypical, I love what James Dobson says. So Dr. James Dobson is the guy behind Focus on the Family, right? And he said that one of the practical ways to help combat the confusion with gender is to actually reinforce some of those things so that they still
ones.
See the distinction.
The
For example,
ones.
His very practical example was, you know, with your sons, you really want to rough them up.
Really?
You
like
know,
how?
So
how?
So with when I started reading that, I'm like, okay, rough them up. Not doesn't mean you beat them up, but you're rough, you know, you wrestle with them. And with the
how
girls,
I just like to hug them.
Right. With the girls, you want to be a little bit more gentle. So I took that to heart and I realized, okay, you know what? There's some things. Now we're not gonna unpack what those are, because like I said, right, we can go into a whole endless subjective conversation there, but there is wisdom to doing that.
Well, remember Daddy also taught you guys how to sit, how to stand, how to
be a gentleman.
How to be a gentleman. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because Dad taught you how to treat women. So share some of those things.
So some of the things our dad enforced with us as men when we were young is, you know, how to serve women, how to be kind and gentle with girls. Those are, you know, there's a lot of specific things.
Like?
That I don't remember all of them.
Open the door.
Yeah, like opening the door, pulling out a chair for somebody, things like that, giving them water. Those are examples of what our dad taught us.
Yeah, let's go.
Yes. I think it's important here to make the distinction between stereotypes and the roles that God has designed
very good.
Men and women for.
So that's roles
very good.
Versus
so roles
stereotypes.
Versus stereotypes.
Yes. So stereotypes can be debunked,
yeah,
right? But the roles cannot because it's God's design.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. So if you go into stereotypes, then you're buying into things like toxic masculinity.
Yeah, color,
and
you know, all these things. That's a good point.
All these things about skin
that's
color. And even how women, the equal rights movement for women is birthed from the fact that stereotypes, the wrong
that
kind
makes
of
sense.
Stereotypes,
that makes
are
sense.
Being,
and I think that's why Jesus elevated the status of women, right? I mean, He was the first to show, hey guys, you know, this ain't cool, right? I mean,
there aren't stereotypes, but there are rules. And this is what might make some people angry or irritated, because it does sound like stereotypes, but it's different. It's the way that God has designed men and women to work together.
The complementary.
In a complementary way that brings out both of their strengths. That doesn't, it makes people equal in God's eyes in status, but not in position, not in role.
Talk about this in Genesis, right? Male and female created them. So He created us equally. That is not the issue at all, right? God creates man and woman, and there's no one better than the other. It's not assigned, but they have different roles, function. I mean,
can
we talk
you
about
can
that.
You explain the roles? Can you unpack the roles? Because we're married.
Maybe we should do that in a
Let's do that in another one, right? What are the roles of a man and a woman?
Yeah, well, that would be a marriage one because
no, not necessarily.
It's kind of related to that. Yeah,
it is.
But we can do that. So we'll just. I think we'll let's wind down our time here, guys. This has been a great discussion. Obviously, there's
so much
more.
I want to hear
more
from Eden because he's a deep thinker.
So let's see if Eden wants to answer this, right? So Liz, thank you for asking this question. We'll do our best to answer this. It's a little touchy. She has a lot of lesbian friends, and I don't bring or show my daughter to them anymore because she got confused. Mama, is that a boy or a girl? A girl pretending to be a boy is not right, Diba. So she asks a follow-up question. Is it okay not expose my daughter to my lesbian friends so she won't get confused with her gender? What do you guys think?
That is a great question. I have something to say.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
But
I want to see something first.
No, we won't hear about my answer.
This is a reflective thing.
Okay, you go.
Hey, you. Sorry to interrupt your podcast listening pleasure. Wonderful choice of podcast, by the way. My name is Sam O, and I have a podcast too. It's called The Narrow Door. It's an ecumenical podcast, which means we talk about everything Christian. I mean, I got a panel on everything, so go give it a listen after this one, okay? All right, thanks. See you there.
You know, I don't think that that's the main issue.
Good.
Because, you know, God calls us to love everybody, and we need to teach our children to be loving to everybody. It's not about, should they be loving to this particular group of people or this particular race or this? We're all sinners, right?
So.
Right. And so I think that there's no way that we can possibly shelter our children from every possible issue in the world that is out there.
Or influence.
So I think the better thing to do is that we keep reinforcing in the lives of our children who God says that they are, right? And we maintain a strong relationship with our children, that strong foundation. And as they have questions, we just answer them honestly from the Word of God, not our opinion, not to judge the people, but always, always kind of enveloped by the fact that, hey, God loves us all. God loves my friends. And I want to continue to reach out to them. And you help me reach out to them too, so that we can demonstrate to them the love of God. And that should be the emphasis. Not like, oh my goodness, you know, this person, you know, I know that he's doing a lot of drugs. And if he's around my child, you know, is my child, with the fact that he doesn't look so okay and doesn't look so healthy, what if my child has questions about that? And then this other person, I know that he's stolen money from the bank and he's actually a thief. And so if we interact with him, is that okay? There's going to always be, like, none of us are perfect. We all have issues that we're dealing with, things that, you know, could be maybe not pleasant to somebody else. So I think the approach always has to be, why are we here as a family? And how can we extend God's grace and love to the people around us? And at the same time, do what's within our control, which is let's raise our children to really know who God is, to know who God designed them to be, and what it means to keep loving people and being gospel bearers to the entire world.
And let's hear these guys. And, I have something to add.
Okay, so
you want to say something? Are you ready?
Mom said all I was going to say.
That's all right. It's not forcing. Elijah, go.
So she, Liz, she talked about how her daughter was also asking her questions, right?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to touch on that.
Go for it.
If your daughter is asking you questions, and we have asked our parents the same question, it's a great opportunity to not, you know, hide the issue or sweep it under the rug, but explain it to her in truth, just like how my parents shared last session that we had Truth Thursdays about how they explain what sex is. And not to be squeamish about these things, but when your daughter asks you these questions, it may be an opportunity for a magic moment where you can actually have these conversations and explain, this is what you're designed
fantastic.
To be. And this is what there is really going to be in the world, and we have to be prepared for that. But we should still love these kinds of people.
Fantastic. So when what she says, is that a boy or a girl? Then the answer of the mom will be, she's actually a girl. And then she uses now that opportunity to say, well, you know what? So enough, you know, people will think that they have the choice, but here's the truth, right? And I love how you reinforce that. And that's why this was originally themed Truth Thursday. So I think the straight answer to you is make sure that the children know the truths behind what they are seeing. So whether it's gender or use example of drugs. Now, I just needed to add this part. Obviously, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. It doesn't mean that just because the world has many influences, you're going to let your kids go to anybody and anywhere because they're supposed to make the decisions on their own, right? You obviously want to make sure that as a parent, you will know, right, if the truths that you want them to embrace are secure and solid. If not, then you make the best call. Maybe these friends of yours might not, you know, your daughter might not be ready to handle all of the influence they might have because, you know, they're still in that position, right? And it's for anybody. So if there's a drug addict friend, I'm not going to go and say, Sigid, you expose yourself to the drug addict because that's the real world. Obviously, you need to make sure that they are ready for exposure like that. I just wanted to make sure that that came out.
Oh, and that was also very clear. And that could be a whole other topic where we talk about how to teach our children to choose the company that they will keep and everything. But I think the reality is we are going to be exposed to all kinds of of people, and we can't always choose
to avoid them.
And I don't think that's how God does.
And that's
God,
not what we're.
Did not design us to.
I think Dad's point. Dad's point is don't deliberately.
Yes.
Become that
liberal.
Throw yourself out.
Don't throw yourself out there just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But when it arises, when it happens, when God allows it, then use the opportunity, I guess.
Yeah. And I what the heart of what you were saying, I think, is what should come out here. It is everybody needs to know Jesus, right? So if these people, if we shy away from them, right, or whoever, then we lose the opportunity for them to come to know Jesus.
Even like, you know, I have a concern with using that phrase, these people.
I love that. Yeah,
we're not
you.
Saying when we say these people.
There's this and that,
We should be very careful because we don't ever want to seem like we are these kind of people and they're these kind of people.
That's
not, because even God says, right, he loves us all equally. Yep. And so we just be very careful about those phrases and statements. That's all. I love you, you know.
No, it's good. Any label, right? Yeah, these people could be any type, which is just going to be all sorts of wrong. So great discussion, guys. Any other parting things on gender?
Yeah, I would like to add that. And we've told our kids this, right? You know, when you meet, like, let's say you as a guy, as guys, and you meet another guy whom you admire, whom you respect, and whose personality you appreciate, and you can find that an attractive thing in a person, but you don't have to be sexually attracted to them. Does that make sense? Like, there are women I admire. I find them beautiful. Wow, they're so beautiful. They're such great people. And I have this attraction towards their person. But it doesn't mean that I have to express sexual attraction to them. And I think sometimes maybe young people, they don't know how to distinguish. Yeah. Like, I can find a personality in a person attractive as a person because there's so many traits about them that I like.
Yeah.
And I want to, let's say, hug them or be friends with them. And it's okay to be that. But God specifically warns us against crossing that boundary of sexual expression towards the same sex, because that's the part that for him is not his design.
Yeah.
But to have that attraction, to want
to have good relationships with men, to have good relationships with women.
That's good. God
designed it. Like David and Jonathan.
David
and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were some of the closest friends in the Bible, and yet they didn't have any.
He even said his love.
Yeah.
Jonathan's love to me is better than the love of a woman.
Probably because it was a brotherly love. It wasn't a sexual love.
Yeah. But I'm saying that you can have that kind of like deep closeness that you're seeing.
Yeah, but the world makes it.
Go ahead, Edith.
It's gotten distorted, like Elijah said. Yeah. But you know, God designed us to have really good relationships with people, and it's not always sexual. We can be good friends with people.
You know the same.
Yeah, even of the same gender.
We should.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Awesome. So, any parting thoughts, Elijah?
Me, I think this way that God describes gender and the Bible describes gender is so restrictive. It's so limiting. But I wanted to encourage you that the Bible talks about when we are able to embrace what God has designed for us, then it's actually the greatest freedom that we can ever experience. Mm. Because then we are free to express ourselves. Then we are free to experience love to the fullest the way that God has designed it. And when you get there, it's a wonderful place to be. And I'm not yet. I'm personally not in a relationship yet.
So, oh, like what?
Yeah.
No,
we don't know. Oh, Nikita, you know something about Elijah? Okay.
But my prayer for myself is that I will be able to stay true and stay faithful so that I can experience the same thing. And that's my encouragement to all of you who are watching as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So thanks, guys. Yeah, Eden, finally.
Just a short thing I wanted to close with. They're usually looking for love, and you need to give them the love of Jesus so that they can find security. They can really find their identity in him. So even with the people that I'm around who I know struggle with this, the first thing I started doing is, you know, you just need to be encouraging to them. You got to show them that God loves them.
Reach out.
Yeah, and reach out to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I was taking in what Eden was saying, and I think I don't have much more to add, babe, so you can close it.
Yeah, so thanks, guys. Really, for me, I think the heart of this is it's not so much the gender that is the concern. It is identity in general, right? And I said earlier, this boils down not to who we are, but whose we are. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never found your identity in Him and in how God designed you, then now's the chance. You can do that and you can say a prayer. Let's close in a prayer, if that's all right, guys.
Yeah, we'll close
in a prayer. And if you want to make this prayer, I don't know if you're watching this live or even on demand, then this is your chance to really discover who you are. Not because you will know who you are, but instead you will know whose you are. And He will tell you how special you are and He will guide you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And we pray that if there are people watching that are looking for identity, who they are, beyond just even gender, at a time like this, if you are that person and you want to now embrace the fact that there is a God who loves you and He has a great plan for you and He only wants what is best for you, then you can choose to receive that right now and say these words in your own mind and in your own heart, something along these lines. You know, God, I've known about you, I've heard about you, I maybe even studied you, but I've never really given my life to you. I've never really surrendered it so that I might find out how special you have made me and the plans you have for me. And I'm hearing and learning that you only want what is good. And so I receive that right now. I thank you that because you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins, for all of our sins. And I receive what He has done. And as I receive that now I can start this relationship with you. And I look forward to growing in this and studying your words and going to people I know or who might know about your words so that I can grow even with them and discover so much of who you are and who I am as a result. And so I lift this prayer up to you, and I once again look forward to how you will heal and restore and make me whole and show me who I am and unpack the rest of my future while I'm here on this earth. So thank you for doing that for me. And I receive this wholeheartedly right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So thanks, guys. Okay. Let's go. Bye, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.